You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God.
Good morning. Is this a beautiful day or what?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I'm not going to sing it because that would clear the house. But you know the reason why it's a beautiful morning? It's because you're here. Well, Mother Nature cooperated with the idea, but the reason it makes this a great day is because you chose to spend some time here with us, to bring your intelligence, your energy, your physicalness to this place so that we could share in that together. And so for that, I deeply say thank you. We are the ministry. And so with that welcome, I would like to invite you just to close your eyes for a moment and say with me in your heart that God is in this place. God is in this place. And we've come together in that awareness that we might share one with the other about the deep spiritual truth that moves through us. Amen. I want to tell you a little bit about the photograph that you're looking at behind that scene. That was a photograph that I took back in Ohio in probably 2002, 2003. And the snow on the buildings and on the crisscross fence and the shadows. It was a place that was called Pioneer Village, and these old houses were a beautiful place to go and to visit and kind of touch into the energy of an old time. And I just thought that it's a part of my background, my experience. I come from cold weather and northeast, and this time of year that we'd be dealing with 20 below zero and you know stuff like that. So yeah, you Californians, you can't hardly relate. So. I wanted to bring this to you. There was another photograph that I wanted to use, but my brand manager forbade it. And that was in a little bit different scene that I was dressed in a turtleneck, heavy sweater with a jean jacket over the top of it. And I was wearing one of those kind of skull caps that motorcyclists wear. And I was peeking out from behind a tree with kind of a look like this. And she said, no, that's not your brand anymore. You can't. Can't use that photograph. But this brings us to the awareness of, you know, thinking about another time much earlier than the one that we're living in, and realizing that the folks there had to make some of the same kinds of decisions that we have to make today. They had to figure out how to do what they needed to do at the time. Now, we do things a lot different than they did back then. And hooray for that in some cases, and in some cases, maybe not so much. But in any event, we are in a new place, in a new time, and it's our challenge to make right decisions. And we need help from time to time. Was that fair to say? Yeah, we need to have access to current and valid information and wisdom. And where do we turn? Anybody got one of these? Yeah, we push a couple buttons on here and ask a question, and boom, Google pops up and gives us an answer. Maybe not the right one or the best one, but you do have an answer. You know what really at the core the inspiration for that was? It's something that you have, and that is the awareness of an infinite supply of knowledge and wisdom. You know, the sages of years gone past looked at that, and they were able to kind of touch into an unlimited supply of information. They would go climb up on a mountainside somewhere, and they'd meditate for long periods of time and touch into something that most of the average folks that are just kind of walking around doing living life didn't have available to them. But they'd come down off the mountainside, and people would recognize them, and they'd run up to them, and they'd ask questions, and they would be amazed at the answers that came forth. So where did they get those answers? Are you aware that they knew, and all of us really have the opportunity to know, that there is what's called the Akashic Record. Anybody ever heard that word before? The Akashic Record is what's understood by the mystics to be the collection of every thought, not some, but every thought that was thought and felt by a human on this planet throughout its entire history. What a database. What an incredible database. You know, every thought that's been thought, every feeling that's been felt has been recorded and is accessible. Not only is it a database, but it's a searchable database. You know, we think about, you know, going on and looking at Google and some of these things and think, oh my, how wonderful it is. Just imagine you had access to every thought that had been thought, every feeling that had been felt, use it as a way of guiding, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I responding to this in the right way? You do have that kind of access. It's about wisdom. It's about judgment. That I want to look at this whole process of wisdom and judgment from a little bit different way. When we think about wisdom, and we think about perhaps the greatest example of wisdom, who would represent that besides Jesus, the Christ? Who comes up next? Solomon. Oh. How wonderful. Did you read the fact that came the Kings, First Kings up there? It's a clue. Yeah, there's a story in 1 Kings 3:16-28. And you probably know the story, and I'm not going to read it to you out of the scriptures. I'm going to tell you the story, basically. And Solomon, of course, over time became known as this greatest example of wisdom. And a lot of it hinged from this particular incident. There are two women who had each given birth close to the same time, a day or so apart. And they were living in the same house, and that there was an unfortunate event that happened with one of them, that the mother accidentally rolled over on her infant, and the infant died. And so there came a struggle about whose infant was the live one and who that one belonged to. And in those days, human life is important to any of us today. But in that day, it was even more critical in the thinking, because that child, and particularly if it was a male child, was the heritage. It's what they had to give forth to the community. It was one of the most important assets. We maybe don't see it quite that way today, and maybe we ought to think a little bit more of it that way, but that's a whole nother talk. What had happened is these two women both wanted to be able to claim that this one child was theirs. And so they went through whatever processes they could to get that sorted out, and it just, you know, they just couldn't come to an agreement. So finally it ended up in Solomon's court. And he was listening to back and forth, and he did his own due diligence and research and talking with them, and just could not come to a way of determining who was that right person. So he came up with an order. He said, bring me my sword. He goes, what's this about? And he said to one of his people there, take the sword, cut the child in half, and give half to one woman and half to the other. Can you imagine having to be in a place where somebody came to you with a concern of that magnitude, and the person said, oh, no problem. Just cut them in half, give you half, give you half. Well, of course, when it happened, the true mother said, oh, no, 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 give this child to this woman. And what did that say to Solomon? He said, no, it goes to you. Because you showed that true sense of love. You would not be willing to sacrifice your child. So it's wow. Where in the world did Solomon get the inspiration to offer? Now, would he have cut the child in half? I doubt it. But those two women didn't know. You have access to the same resource that Solomon had. You just may not have learned how to use the database and how to search it. How to be able to be in touch with and draw on that kind of infinite wisdom when it was there. But I have good news for you. You have an app. It's called 12 Spiritual Faculties, and of those 12, one is wisdom and judgment. Now, in some of the earlier presentations of the 12 faculties. It was called wisdom/judgment. But in somebody's judgment, wisdom was taken out of it and just left it with the word judgment. That's how we think of it today. But processing good judgment is what leads to wisdom. And you think of folks who have silver hair, and I know there's a lot of ladies in the room that if they didn't use a special technique would have silver hair. So would be in that category of what the silver hair generally recommend or represents in the terms of wisdom. That wisdom is available at a deep level. You know, in my 73 years of experience, you know, I've gathered a certain amount of wisdom. But just the thought that I have access to all that's been thought, all that's been felt. I can search that database so that I can be as certain as possible that when I make a decision, that I've got the best information possible. So how do you do that? Well, exercise your app. Exercise your spiritual faculty of wisdom, which is simply defined as to discern and evaluate, select and make good decisions. So you've been given, built into the nature of who you are, the capacity to access this massive database that we often refer to as the Akashic Record. But you know, I brought some props to play with today. That if I hold this up to you, and I ask you, based upon what you can see, what your senses can tell you, you have a description of what I'm holding. But I see something that you don't see. So we could stand here and argue all day long and into the night about how this is around something, and that's simply what it is. It's round. You don't know whether it's solid. You don't know anything else about it. And you won't know sure, you look at it and you recognize what it is and you can say, oh, I know what that is. But if you were limited just to what you could see right now, we could argue all day long about whether it has a handle or not. And you would be convinced to the very core of your being that it does not have a handle. Is that fair to say? Right? You would? Yes? I can look at it and I'll argue just as long and hard that it does have a handle. It's got a little loop on it. But until you see that other perspective, it's not real for you. So now, is this just a solid object that I'm holding, or is it something else? Again, you don't have any idea, but I can look into it from the top and see that it is, in fact, a cup. So it isn't until we're able to kind of look at things from many different ways and see all that it is and all that it represents that we can truly understand just with our senses what we're dealing with. So how great would it be, how great it is, to be able not to have to rely just on that? That we have an app, we have a way of moving into that deeper understanding. Now, the pit of the stomach is where Charles Fillmore and his research and so forth said this is where this faculty resides. So, you know, no surgeon can go in and cut open somebody's stomach and say, oh, there it is. It's represented in that base of knowledge that is there. In the Enneagram meeting that the first one we had, not last week, but the week before, she talked about the intellect or the energy center, the processing center of the brain, and then about the heart. But then she talked about a third one. And where do you suppose she said it was? The pit of the stomach, the gut. You know how you have that gut feeling that this is something I should pay attention to or I don't know. It's not a heart feeling. It's usually a gut feeling that kind of gives you that poke. You know, you need to go somewhere. You need to do this or you need to step back and not do it, you know, depending. So this is your spiritual faculty of judgment or wisdom saying, hey, pay attention. But do we pay attention? Sometimes. More often than not, we say, oh, did I eat something that didn't agree with me? Listen. My experience, my personal experience over the years has been when I haven't listened to that I'll get another little nudge a little bit later on, depending upon the importance and the severity of what I'm dealing with. And it finally gets to the point where I cannot address it and pay attention to it. But how much sweeter it would be in life if I got that message and listened to it and heard it, when it just with that first little, maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I need to approach this differently. But at that point, it's not high enough on our radar to do anything with it. Accessing the database puts you there. So think about the fact that you have access. By doing a process not a lot different than what we just did in our meditation, of relaxing, going within ourselves, addressing that creative spirit that is there, is powerfully there, and ask a question. When we focus it from the perspective that we're asking the creative spirit, whether we call that creative spirit God, central source, whatever words you use are not really important. But it's important that you recognize it's the highest source in this record, and you're asking for the right answer to what you're dealing with. What you're doing is you're filtering that database. Like with Google, you punch it in and you get everything, or whatever Google thinks you ought to get. But when you go into this inner collection of all the thoughts, all the feelings, that's there and it's filtered into what you need. So you think about when we speak to the Creator, we speak to the Divine Presence. Now, where is it? Now, often people have said, you know, if everybody, even if everybody just in this room was praying to God at the same time, how in the world does God answer all of those prayers? How does He hear them all? Isn't it just a big noise? Well, so where is this presence that you speak to? Every cell, every tissue of your body is this energy, and this presence of God is in every one of them. So it's not sending it over a long distance. You don't have to have, like they used to talk about years ago, a T1 line, and anybody that's in technology knows that, whoa, at one time that was the best and most powerful way to send messages through our electronic system. I don't think that even is in the language anymore. What you have is direct access, absolute direct access, closer to you than your breathing, closer than hands and feet. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Yeah, it's talking about where God is, closer to. So there's no distance. There's no time that has to go over. There's no towers that it has to go through. It's connected with you. It's there with you all the time. You have access to it. So it's about recognizing that access and being willing to call on it. Now, we can let the resource sit or we can access it. You have the app to do it. You have the technology within yourself to be able to have access to all that you ever need to know. So there's no reason for not doing it. There's no reason for struggling. Now, if you sit down at your computer or other device, and you call up a question, depending upon the speed and the efficiency of your device, sometimes you sit there for a while and you watch it go round and round and round and round and round. And then sometimes they'll actually go back and go round and round and round the other way. And I haven't figured that part of it out, but it'll sit there doing that and doing its thing, and then finally your message pops up. And it's kind of the same with this process. Not because the equipment is faulty, but you just haven't used it enough for it to be readily accessible. The more you go into and exercise that database search, and if you've ever done that in a electronic sense, you know that your first few times addressing the database may be a daunting experience. But after a while, you get better at it. You're able to get the answers you want. You're able to filter through the searches you want. Well, same is true with this. The more often that you use the process, the more often you go to that source and look for the answer and get the answer, then it works easier, it works better. It's more efficient, more effective. So I invite you to do it as often as you can. Exercise that. Brain scientists talk about the synapses of the brain and how the more times you think a thought, the more times that those brain synapses and the connections are made, the link becomes stronger. So it's there and it's easier to find that. Duh, same thing works here. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. So, you know, I want to just simply say that you are incredible human beings. You have available to you such phenomenal resources. Use them. Step forward and be what the Creator has created you to be. In case you haven't noticed, our world needs it. Be who you are. Give of your gifts. And thank you. And that's the way it is.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the Donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.